Now, Sam, we touched on the Heisman race earlier in the season, and we just wanted to bring up some dark horse guys. Most of those guys have been weeded out by now. We're back to the cream of the crop. But with the Stanford loss last week, all of a sudden, it's a total crapshoot as to who wins the Heisman Trophy at this point. You were mentioning, rightfully so, that the media seems to be leaning towards Brandon Whedon at this point. And I want to go over your thoughts on the guys that are in the race now. I want to give my rankings for them, see where you rank these guys. So I guess we can start with Brandon Whedon. I personally have him ranked third. If I were voting today, I would vote him third. The reason for that is you could argue that he's having the best season among quarterbacks. You could argue that. There are a couple guys I like better, but I do have him as my number one quarterback right now because of the fact that he's on an undefeated team. But when you talk about the Heisman Trophy, you're talking about obviously the success of the team, but you're also talking about the best player in college football. I don't think Brandon Whedon's the best player on his team.
Right.
I think Justin Blackmon is the better football player. So in that regard, I feel a little weird about voting for Brandon Whedon to win the Heisman when I feel that way. But the numbers, 3,635 passing yards, 31 touchdowns, the 9 interceptions are a bit of a concern, but 73.1% completion percentage is strong, and of course that undefeated record. Where do you have this guy ranked?
I mean, I've been jaded by what I think is a system that no longer does reward who the best player in college football is. If it was the best player in college football, then in years past we would have had different winners than the guys we have. I now believe that all that matters is, are you on a team that goes undefeated and plays in a national title, or are you close somewhere on that elite level of a team, and do you play the right position, and are your numbers good enough? Because otherwise you're not going to win the Heisman. And if you consider all of that, then Brandon Whedon probably would win the Heisman today, and therefore he'd be my number one as he is everybody else's number one. I hate that that's the way the system is, because the best player doesn't necessarily win the Heisman. It's always guys that have to be on the right team, playing the right position, and with the right amount of numbers.
And the right position, it has to be quarterback or running back. That's why Justin Blackmon isn't even on our top sixes here.
Here's my thing. If it was up to me, I would invite Justin Blackmon to New York.
Yeah.
Because Justin Blackmon, if you look at him and what he brings to the table, 93 catches, 1,142 yards, 14 touchdowns, all of those numbers ranked in the top three in catches, fifth in yards, and tied for first in touchdown catches. This guy is as big of a difference maker as you'll find in college football. He's probably the best at his position. He may be even the best player in the country if you look at all positions.
I agree.
And the problem is, if he's on your team and you're Brandon Whedon, like you said, how can we really vote for Brandon Whedon as the Heisman Trophy winner if we're not convinced he's the best player on his team? It's a very difficult thing for me to be okay with.
Somebody else sitting here might say, well, hey, look at all of the stats that Brandon Whedon puts up with other guys. It's not just Blackmon. I would argue that part of that is because Blackmon is not only taking the other team's best corner, but that you always have a safety over the top, or you always have this guy in double coverage, because no team in the country is stupid enough to try and cover this guy with just one person. Right. So I'm not saying that Brandon Whedon is only successful because of Justin Blackmon. Brandon Whedon is one of the best quarterbacks in college football. He absolutely deserves to be in this conversation, but it's Justin Blackmon's team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Whedon's a great quarterback, and really, he's got the Chris Winkie thing going right
yes,
now.
Yes,
he very well may win this trophy at 28 years old, and he's everything about him is perfect for the quarterback position, the way Oklahoma State runs it. But the thing is, it's just hard for, I think, the two of us to discount what he's working with and how good that guy is, and why we believe he should probably be invited to New York if you're going to invite Brandon Whedon. But again, that's just kind of the way we've felt, and we've talked about these two guys a lot this season and on this show. But Brandon Whedon right now is probably in the driver's seat if you look at it.
My number one guy, if I had a vote today and I could vote for the Heisman Trophy winner, my vote would go to Trent Richardson. I have him at number one. He has 1,205 rushing yards, 18 rushing touchdowns. Just for comparison's sake, when you look at the year that Ingram won it back in 2009, he has 92 less yards than Ingram had at this point in the year. He has 8 more touchdowns than Ingram had at this point in the year. I would argue that Alabama is the second best team in the country. I think you would agree with me on that. And we both agree that Oklahoma State deserves the bid more, obviously undefeated. We've gone over that. But Alabama is a better team than Oklahoma State, in my opinion. LSU doesn't have that one guy, as we've kind of been over. They are a full team effort. I can't find a guy to give the Heisman Trophy to. So by default, I'm looking at the next best team, which for me is Alabama, and I'm looking at the best player on that team by miles on the offensive side of the ball. And when you look at the LSU game, which is probably the reason he won't win the Heisman Trophy at this point, he had 169 total yards against the best defense in football. He had 89 rushing yards and 80 receiving yards against LSU. He was the reason they got into field goal range and missed so many of those field goals. But if they kick those field goals, they win that game, and he's the undisputed leader at this point. So for me, looking at all these one-loss teams and the fact that Whedon and Blackman split for me, Richardson is the guy for me.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, it's close for me between him and LaMichael James for who that top running back is. But here's the one thing that you have to love about Trent Richardson's chances is if somehow Arkansas could upset LSU, he could put himself back in the national spotlight in potentially an SEC title game against a very good Georgia defense.
Yeah, if that happens.
If he had a monster game in that one, he would be your Heisman Trophy winner. I really believe that.
I think if he had a good game in that one, he'd be your Heisman Trophy winner, because Alabama would be heading to the championship and his body of work all of a sudden would be pretty
The numbers are there. He's on a team that we want to see a running back or a quarterback come out of in Alabama, and all they need to make it a serious threat for him is to somehow get themselves back in the national title picture. But even if they don't, if they stay at one loss and finish the year really well and some of these other guys stumble, you know, Trent Richardson is a great pick for Heisman, and a guy that, again, when you talk about that best player or even an MVP type of award, there's no question that on that offense, he's a bigger MVP maybe than anybody.
Where do you have him in your top five?
I mean, for me right now, he's sitting at two behind Brandon Whedon, since I chose to go by the logic of the system. But Trent Richardson, it was close for me with LaMichael James and Trent Richardson, but I like him a lot.
Yeah, LaMichael James is my two over Brandon Whedon. Right. And LaMichael James, he has two more yards than Trent Richardson. He missed two games.
Yeah.
He has 12 touchdowns. And again, here's a guy that you look at that LSU loss, and he was contained in that one, but he did have 105 total yards and a touchdown. By LaMichael James standards, that's a pretty lousy day. But by LSU standards, it's not a terrible day. And LaMichael James, if he doesn't miss those two games, is far and away pretty much dominating every rushing statistic in the nation. Mm-hmm. And last year, this guy finished third in Heisman voting behind just Cam Newton and Andrew Luck. And he hasn't taken a step backwards. Yep. If you're willing to project out what those two games would have been, even giving him a bit of a knock, the stats would definitely be there. And Oregon, he gets his Heisman moment in that dominant win over Stanford. Oregon is now, in all likelihood, going to win the Pac-12 championship. They're going to be just a one-loss team. And this guy is arguably the best running back in the country.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the thing that sticks out to me about him is that he, if you look at it just from a yards per game perspective, he leads the country in rushing at 150.8 yards per game, and that's an incredible stat. It's the time he missed that kept him from having better numbers. The only place that I would find a little bit of a problem for him, mm-hmm. as in relation to Trent Richardson, is when you took LaMichael James off of that team, they still ran pretty smooth with Kenyon Barner and DeAnthony Thomas.
That's a good point.
They were still running that offense and putting a lot of points on people. If you were to take Trent Richardson off of Alabama's team, I'm not sure that they could operate at even close to the level that they do, and that's the one area that allowed me to put Richardson ahead of LaMichael James, only because we've seen Oregon play without LaMichael, and it was still good enough that they could operate their offense.
That's a fantastic point. He is a bit of a beneficiary of a good system, and if you look at every other guy on this list, their teams would be destroyed without them. And LaMichael James, that wasn't the case. So that's a very good point. Now, at four right now, I have Andrew Luck. And it's weird for me that I have him at four. I almost wanted to put him ahead of Brandon Whedon, but I just couldn't, again, because of what you were talking about, how we just have to respect the system as what it is to some degree. But if you look at Andrew Luck, here's a guy that, like I was saying, last year finished only behind Cam Newton. he's on pace to have more touchdown passes than he had that year, as a pretty much identical completion percentage, just a couple less passing yards. Statistically, he's essentially the same guy. It's essentially the same season. You have the one loss against Oregon with the two interceptions, and then the rest of the way you dominate. And I think with Andrew Luck, you look at the statistics. Yes, the 29 touchdowns are impressive. They're right near the top of the nation. The 70.6 completion percentage is impressive. The 2,680 passing yards isn't as impressive compared to some of these other guys. But the stat for me with Stanford is that 46.4 points per game. Yep. Now, a lot of the guys on this list are putting up big numbers, but the story with Stanford is how well they run the ball, how well he manages the offense. You just have to kind of give him respect. We knew coming into the year he wasn't going to have the best numbers. Yeah. And getting back to the simple truth that last I checked, the Heisman Trophy was supposed to reward the best player in college football, we all still agree that it's him. So we can't throw this guy out yet.
This is one of those places where we take a kind of an NFL approach to who really is the best player, and it's what keeps him at or near the top of every ballot, because he really is one of those guys that the numbers don't even necessarily match up with some of these other quarterbacks that we're going to talk about, but it's one of those things where for Andrew Luck, the only issue is he played a game against USC that was on national television that he acquitted himself pretty well in. Even after that pick six, he was able to get out of that with some really good numbers, but his only other chance to impress the country came on national TV in by far their biggest game of the year, and he came up short. And when you have so few chances, as Andrew Luck does, to impress people with the games you play, especially late in the year, and they're not going to have that opportunity again for the rest of the season.
Notre Dame, you don't think... I agree with you, it wouldn't be nearly the same stage as the USC and Oregon game were, but at least it's on national television, yeah, on NBC. If he has a huge game, yeah, which isn't really his MO, but if he has a huge game, maybe.
Because that's their only chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a decent game. But when you talk about the stage that these other teams are going to be on,
you're
and
right,
the guys that we're talking about, mm-hmm, I just feel bad for Andrew Luck in the way that he hasn't, from the start, had enough chances to really get the... When you're not going to have the statistics, the monster numbers, then you have
you
to be able to win those moments. And he had a moment against USC to come back in that game and win it, and he needed similar moments against Oregon. A monster game against Notre Dame certainly would help him, but it's hard when you think about, will Andrew Luck win the Heisman? That's the issue that's going to be with the games he's played.
And, you know, we both agreed that pick six against USC that gave him the opportunity to tie the game up and then eventually win it might have been better for his Heisman race than had he not thrown it. But now, there's the pick six in that game. There's almost an identical pick six in the Oregon game. And there was not great play at all in the Oregon game. Like we were just talking about in the last segment, he's had two chances to make big statements. He did it in the USC game, albeit with a couple of mistakes along the way, and he failed in the Oregon game. The problem is, that game was not all his fault. He wasn't getting protection. He was clearly getting rattled by the attack. Oregon had a great game plan dialed up. The defense was doing nothing to help him. He had to force plays late, which was one of the main reasons for that interception. But you know what? If Andrew Luck is going to be the face of Stanford football, then he has to take the blame, yep, too, when they fall flat on that face. So, you know, you got to have him below these other guys. If for me, number five, Case Keenum, you know I've always loved these guys in non-BCS conferences, but, you know, statistically, he's far and away the best quarterback in the nation. It's not even close. He has 3,951 passing yards, 37 touchdowns to just 3 interceptions, a 74.2% completion percentage. Now, obviously, people are going to say, well, look at the competition he's going up against, and that's true. But I would also argue that if he were in the Big 12, I think he'd put up very comparable numbers. And I would even argue that a lot of the time when he leaves the game at the half because Houston is up 35 or 42 against some of these Big 12 type of opponents, I don't think he'd be doing that. I think he'd have more of a chance to put up big numbers. I've heard people say if he were in the Big 12 or the SEC, he wouldn't put up similar numbers. I agree in the SEC. An offense like this isn't going to work against an Alabama or an LSU. But you know what? Against a Kentucky or a Vanderbilt? Yeah, this guy's still putting up these numbers. But in the Big 12, a conference that consistently is happy to shoot out, you don't think he could put up these numbers against Oklahoma State or Baylor or Kansas? I think he could.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is it's the same problem we faced with quarterbacks in the past, even in the Big 12. When you had guys from Texas Tech, they had quarterbacks year after year with Mike Leach and even Hawaii with Colt Brennan, Timmy Chang. It's the same problem we're going to have all the time where these guys are really good. And I think you're right. I think he could put up very good numbers. But people that heard Case Keenum's name that may be listening to the podcast, if you don't believe in Conference USA, they're not going to listen to a number we rattle off. I can say he ranks first in the nation in passing yards and total offense, and he's second in passing efficiency and all those numbers you rattled off, and they're not going to hear one word of that. And it's never going to matter because that's just the reality of the conference as they see it. Now, I think that because they're sitting at number 11 in the BCS standings and in a position to get a BCS bowl berth, that's going to help him get an invite to New York City. I think he may be in New York City because they're going to play in a BCS game. But as far as winning the Heisman, he couldn't be any better if he tried with playing the game. I mean, he entered this season and he's done everything in his power to play a perfect year of college football. But the reality is he was never going to win it because of the conference he's in, which is unfortunate because I think this won't be the last time we have this conversation about a guy, and he's just another byproduct of that system.
You know, yes, he has Southern Methodist, and then he has at Tulsa, and you know what's a shame? The Conference USA Championship right now is shaping up to be Houston against Southern Mississippi. Southern Mississippi is the most underrated team in all of college football. This is actually the first time in episode 11 that we've said Southern Mississippi. That goes to show you how underrated they are. They only have one loss. They're a dominant team that plays the game in a way that they would win games in any conference. Yeah. They're not a Conference USA gimmicky team. They run the football well. They have a strong defense. If Case Keenum has a big game against that team, I'm going to be extremely impressed. And those same people that, like you said, were rolling their eyes when I brought up Case Keenum just aren't going to care because, Southern Mississippi, Conference USA, who cares? That's going to be a huge game, and I really hope if there's anybody listening out there to us that listens to anything that we say, I hope you'll at least give that game a chance because that's going to be a football game.
Yeah, and again, if he wins that game and looks as good as he has all season, getting to New York City should be a realistic possibility, and I think it will. But you know, the same people that have argued against Timmy Chang and Colt Brennan and all those Texas Tech quarterbacks which played in the BCS conference, they're not going to like Case Keenum either. And so we go on.
To the guy that if we ended the Heisman campaign this week wouldn't be in either of our top five, but a guy that we could both very easily see winning the Heisman Trophy at this point is Landry Jones.
You could make an argument that Landry Jones controls his own destiny to win the Heisman. Not to get to New York City, but to win the Heisman. If he continues to play well down the stretch, right now, he's third in the country in total offense, 15th in passing efficiency. He's thrown for 3,300 yards, 28 touchdowns, 9 picks. So if you like Andrew Luck's numbers, for example, or even a guy like Brandon Whedon, Landry Jones could take Brandon Whedon's numbers and make them look better by the end of the season, especially if they were to win that game.
He has an extra game, and that game is this week against Baylor.
Yeah.
And all he needs to get to Brandon Whedon's yardage is 300 yards, which he'll easily do against Baylor.
Sure.
He only needs 3 touchdowns to get to Brandon Whedon's current touchdown position. Again, easy against Baylor. And if we're willing to say that it's okay for Brandon Whedon to throw 9 interceptions and win the Heisman Trophy, well, it should be for Jones, too.
Exactly, and here's the thing. All the arguments we made for Oklahoma as a team earlier, and all those teams that they played on the road and beat, that also helps his argument for a Heisman Trophy, and there's one extra argument that he's going to be able to make that Brandon Whedon can't make, which is that he just lost his best receiver and his starting running back. If they beat Oklahoma State, there's no chance that Brandon Whedon wins the Heisman over Landry Jones. If you're going to put Brandon Whedon at the number one spot right now, then Landry Jones could conceivably take that spot right from him, especially if Oklahoma positions themselves to go to the national title. Now, there are a lot of people, and rightfully so, that are sick of Oklahoma being in the national title and sick of quarterbacks from Oklahoma winning the Heisman like a Jason White and guys like that. I understand it. Bradford certainly deserved it, I think. But the reality with a guy like Landry Jones, whether you hated his performance against some of these teams or not, he didn't play bad against Texas Tech. His numbers were still there with 5 touchdowns, 400 yards passing.
Were.
So it wasn't his fault that they lost that game. And the thing is, is if he wins against Oklahoma State, all of the dominoes could add up to make him the key figure in the college football season for the Heisman Trophy.
The Ryan Broyles injury hurts Oklahoma's chances of winning that Oklahoma State game, but gives Landry Jones the inside track at the Heisman Trophy.
Right, because if he doesn't win that game, we're not even going to talk about his name. The only way, but if he does win it, and without Ryan Broyles, without Dominique Whaley, I think the Dominique Whaley loss is almost as big, given that's your rushing game and he's been
your
top performer. And he would have to win above all of that.
And on the road against the second-best team in the country in Oklahoma State. It would be an incredible, you talk about Heisman moment. Yep. I mean, it would be a clear-cut Heisman moment. And I think there's a very realistic chance that it happens.
I mean, I can ask you, what are the odds on him right now? Because whatever they are, I'd take them.
That's the thing. It, depending on which sportsbook you look at, some places have him at 25-1, some places have him at up to 40-1. I think that's a steal.
Yep.
If they win that Oklahoma State game, in all likelihood, whether we like it or not, you keep saying maybe we don't want to see Oklahoma in the national championship anymore. Oklahoma probably gets into the national championship game, and this guy, in all likelihood, wins the Heisman Trophy.
Right. And so we, you know, we'll see. Obviously, it's a big game, the Bedlam game on December 4th, but I'm just looking forward to seeing, will Brandon Whedon or Landry Jones capture the moment? Because they're both going to be completely on the spotlight. We both
you could argue to some degree that game is for the Heisman Trophy. If Arkansas doesn't upset LSU and give Trent Richardson that chance, then that game could potentially just be for the Heisman Trophy. It's interesting, coming into the year, the last thing I'll say on this is that Brandon Whedon had Justin Blackmon, and I think Justin Blackmon, he finished, I believe it was fifth in Heisman voting last year, and he ahead of Brandon Whedon. So he kind of came into the year with a little bit more hype than Whedon, and everybody kind of thought of him as maybe the better player of the two. Landry Jones had a similar situation with Ryan Broyles, except I believe that people were leaning more towards Landry Jones being the face of Oklahoma.
Yep.
Well, now, like we said, you don't even have to have that argument anymore because it's just one guy. It's just Landry Jones.
Right.